the focus passage for today, if you guys want to go ahead and stretch your legs and stand, if you're able. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. All right, so we were talking last week on prayer. We had already, and this admittedly is a smattering of some thoughts, and we had some really good discussion, and we left off with, in the name of Jesus. And should we pray in the name of Jesus? Well, yeah. Should we just pray and throw that in at the end of our prayer? No. We should think about what that means and what is all behind it, and praying in the name of someone in representation of and in character of. And just like last week, I'm going to continue on with this hopefully really not disjointed lesson, but talking about prayer, and we'll have some good discussion. So we'll start today's question with, should we pray to or address our prayers to Jesus Christ?
Sure.
So, as always, while I appreciate personal opinion, I always want to try to go back to, because you guys, you don't really want to hear my opinion. You want to hear what the Bible has to say. So, are prayers addressed to Jesus in Scripture? And obviously, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is dealing with Jesus' life, we don't really have examples of Jesus praying to Jesus, because that, all right, some of us when we teach, we speak about ourselves in the third person, but, you know, that's also a little bit weird. Okay, but do we have examples of, in Scripture, of people praying to Jesus? And so, you know what? It doesn't take us very long at all. Like, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John are talking about Jesus. So the next book is Acts. So is it very long in Acts before we see a prayer to Jesus? Side note. There, side note. Disciples. Who picked out all the disciples? Who said, come and follow me? Jesus did. And so Jesus dies, and somebody else died too, Judas. And so they're down a disciple, right? So Acts chapter 1, we see when picking a new disciple, you, Lord, know the hearts of all. Show us which one you've chosen. So it really doesn't take much time at all. And it kind of also even makes sense that the disciples would say, and this is, and I know it says Lord, but because when in Scripture, right, when we see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, always it's referring to God the Father. But this one, you Lord, is referring to Jesus. And then, again, not too far along after this, we also see another passage, like in Acts chapter 7. If you remember, if you know what's going on there, Stephen, and the stoning of Stephen, and Stephen prays. And what we see is in 759, they're stoning him, and he cries out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And by the way, in 55 through 60, we even see the Holy Spirit called out. We see God called out. So why do I mention that? Well, with regard to prayer, and do we see prayers to Jesus? Yes. And here, Okay, it's not like he forgot about the Holy Spirit or forgot about God. No, right then he cried out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And Jeff, were you thinking of another one when...
I was just going to say, don't give up on the Gospels too quickly. There were many people that appealed directly to Jesus for healing and for knowledge.
Prayer.
Fair point.
That's what prayer is, right? He's living, whether we see him or not.
Fair point. In the technical term, but you're right. You're right. Yep. So, do we go ahead and pray to, do we address our prayers to Jesus? Do we see that example in Scripture? Yes, we do. And after all, if we remember what Jesus has done and what Jesus has enabled us, and we already talked about this, that Jesus Christ is the mediator. Hebrews 4. Since then we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we have not an high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we remember, when we're thinking about what Christ has done for us and enabling us to draw near the throne of grace, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? Okay, so should we pray? Should we address prayer to the Holy Spirit?
Sure. He's God.
Maybe it's a silly question, but you know, do we see examples in Scripture? But yeah, you're right. He's God. He's part of the triune God, of course. And if praying in the name of Jesus, praying in the authority in with respect to what he's done, if we're doing that with Jesus Christ, why wouldn't we do that with the Holy Spirit? Don't want to get sidetracked too much.
But here we go.
So, some ways the Holy Spirit relates to us personally, and we're thinking all of this in the broad category of prayer and praying too. So, we're going to start with these passages, and then I'll let you all share as well. But what are some of the things that Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit and how he relates to us personally? So let's take a look at these Scriptures, and then you can also chime in. So, Dave.
You want me to read?
I want you to read, because I want to start with these Scriptures, okay. and then we'll also pick up lots of good stuff.
John 14:16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, advocate, or counselor to be with you forever.
So the Holy Spirit's our helper, our advocate, our counselor. The next one.
John 14:26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you.
So he's our helper, our advocate, our counselor. It promises that he's going to teach us. And it promises that he's going to bring to our remembrance. And not just when you're up here taking prayer requests, trying to remember everybody's name. No, it promises that the Holy Spirit's going to help us with that. So, you know, if you're having trouble remembering stuff. Why wouldn't you? Holy Spirit, help me out. I'm struggling with that verse. I'm struggling trying to remember. Sure.
Well, I like what you said about bringing it into our remembrance, because it's nothing new. As even David said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Mm-hmm. So we got to go way back.
Yep. You want to read that next passage too?
Romans 8:13. Is that what you want?
Yep.
But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
So one of the things the Holy Spirit does is bears witness about what? About what?
Our sins, our guilt, our... Oh. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
Bingo.
Now, it is true that he also helps convict of sin. Absolutely.
You know, it's for me, the Holy Spirit, and it's for me. I can't give you the Bible first, but it convicts my conscience. Shows me what I might have done wrong. Did this offend the Spirit? Because if it offends the Spirit, who's God, then it hurt God, and I certainly don't want to do anything to hurt God. So I don't ever want to grieve the Spirit.
Are you serious?
Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
We were sealed by the Holy Spirit. And yeah. And all the time, I'm never trying to cut off discussion, but I do want to focus on Scripture.
Just one more verse.
You bet.
Philippians 2:5-11, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's the one that transformed us, the Holy Spirit. So if you're in the Word, there's only one Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He's saying, so let this be in you, the same as in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. We are brothers. We're adopted into the family of God. I mean, through the Holy Spirit. So I think that's where you're going with this.
I wanted to read and again focus on the fact, okay, I know, is it a silly question to ask? Should we? Okay, well, obviously part of the reason I ask is because other folks will say that should we pray to saints? Should we pray to Mary? Should we, again, you know what? One of the quickest, easiest ways to have discussion is chapter and verse.
Right.
Where do you see that biblical example? Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's in there. No. But certainly when we're praying, oh man, I feel I've been convicted of sin. Am I really a Christian, God? Man, what? The Holy Spirit in us. Holy Spirit, am I really saved? And actually, doesn't the Bible say, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith?
2 Corinthians 13:5.
But yeah, so if we're struggling with any of these things and as it relates to the Holy Spirit, why wouldn't we pray and say, hey, Holy Spirit, I acknowledge, I know that you're in control of this. I know that this is not your thing, but yeah, this is more your arena, your area, right? Hey, Holy Spirit, help me out. I can't remember. Bring these things to my remembrance. Help me out.
Right.
So
Romans 8:26 says that. He'll bring it to our remembrance.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sandy.
Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Yeah. He wants us to.
Now, do we see, thank you, and yes, do we see lots of prayers and specific focus to just always pray to the Holy Spirit?
No.
And if we're, so many times, right, we as Baptists want to neglect the Holy Spirit because we don't want to get charismatic. You know? That's a little, but come on. And yeah, should all of our prayers only be to Jesus? No. But can we pray to Jesus, and especially, you know, in the name of Jesus, understanding, remembering what he's done for us? Heck yeah. Understanding what the Holy Spirit does for us. Certainly. Certainly. Well, I thought we were going to go. Going to get lots of sidetracked. But that's okay. That's cool. So, another section in this, effective prayer. And there's lots of, I've heard lots of sermons and the Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. There's a lot of different, none of this lesson and none of this in the Bible doctrines is trying to give you modes and methods, but we want to talk about how to pray. So things for effective prayer. One of the things would be according to God's will. 1 John 5:14, right? If we ask according to his will, he hears us. Okay. So, thinking about that a little bit more, what does it mean to ask according to his will? And thinking about even Jesus in the garden prayed, right? Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he was praying to the Father. So even Jesus, man, he prayed. And he prayed, and I think it was an earnest prayer. God, let this pass, but not my will, but yours. John 15:7, right? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will. So if you abide in me and my words abide in you, what does that mean, and what does that directly imply? If Christ's words are abiding in us, what does it directly imply? So we can know God's revealed will, right? I remember growing up, pray that God's will be done, and what is God's will? Well, we can know God's revealed will. It's in Scripture. And we can actually pray Scripture. Amen. And not to pass it by. Of course, that also means that in order to pray Scripture, we got to know Scripture.
Right.
And it's, and not that we can't read it, but man, it's super handy when we're praying it if we actually, you know, have it even memorized. Shalom?
So, questions?
Yep.
Would you define effective?
No.
Then the other piece is know his word, and therefore he can, abiding in, and my words abiding in. So how God operates is what is true and his authority. And so when we know what his authority is, it's kind of like, well, Mom, you did say this. Well, Dad, you did say this. So I'm holding you accountable God.
So praying back
yeah.
some of God's promises.
What you say you're going to do, well, then I can ask for those things. So knowing his word specifically, just like if you know the law,
mm-hmm.
say, well, officer, it does say this, so I can do this. So the same idea of authority. But we won't define effective. Because that's for us to figure out.
Well, all right. You know, you have to title a section. So things to, how about this? Things to think about for prayer. See what happens when Dan goes off the cuff. Yeah. But yeah, I can't define.
So it's not necessarily getting what you want. I mean, I guess I'm trying to clarify what you mean by effective, but what's the purpose of prayer?
So things to think about for prayer, and actually if we just look at all the six, eight things that I've got listed, and that's why I'm not in love with the title effective prayer. So, and that's, that. Yeah.
Trying to
so,
what's true, what you're asking us to be under.
Yeah,
I'm just giving an example. Like,
fine.
That's why we're praying. Yes.
Yep.
You know what your word says. Well, we'll make sure that I answer it according to
yes.
what you're defining.
Yes. Yes.
As you have asked God.
Okay.
Okay.
Eunice.
Capability of producing the desired result.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Bert.
What Eunice just said is actually the word efficacious.
There you go.
Effectual.
So how would you define effective? No pressure.
Right. How would you define efficacious then? Yeah, more.
Effective talks about the result. Efficacious, as Eunice said, talks about the capability.
Yeah. Fair enough. And see how easy it is for me to just go off rail when I, wait a minute, what? To define, because I'd like to, I do like definitions, and sometimes I share them. But Bob.
The key word for me is in the title of effective. If you want your prayers, effective would mean that they would be answered or be effective. And if you pray for God's will, that you be okay with it, then they will be, because it's going to be his way. My dad used to say it differently, and I didn't like it when he said it as a young child. Better learn to be happy the way things are, or you're going to be unhappy. And that's about what this says. Pray for God, your wisdom of God's will, and he will give it to you.
Okay. So, all right.
One last thing.
Okay.
Maybe. I think we need to be prepared if when we pray to God, when God says no.
That's like five slides later.
I mean, I'm just thinking.
Absolutely.
For so many prayer times here, we're praying for health issues. Well, people are going to die. We can't pray for everyone to be healed. And they're going to die at some point unless the Lord comes. At some point, God says, no, that's not.
Well, actually, with regard to that, I loved when I heard somebody else say this. You know what? They're going to be healed. They're going to be healed either in this world or they're going to be healed in the next. So our perspective, oftentimes, one of those purposes of prayer is for God to work on our perspective to change.
God says no, how do we handle it? How do people see how we handle it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
be prepared.
Yes.
He says no.
Yes. And yes. And I was gonna get into that later, and I still will table that thought right now for a little bit. And that's also why I didn't necessarily like the title of effective prayer, but I wanted to take a look at a bunch of things about prayer that the Bible has to say that we need to keep in mind, keep in perspective, and considering all those things together are dealing with prayer. But sometimes to try to get one cool title doesn't work out all that well. Dave.
Okay, prayer is a method the sovereign, omnipotent God has ordained to bring about his sovereign will. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the way we define that is in 1 John 1, if we're walking in light, he's in the light, fellowshipping with Christ, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and we have fellowship with him, and we're intimate, and we're repentant of all known sin. That's what makes effective prayer. I believe it's 1 Peter 3:6-7 talks, or is it 2nd? I get it mixed up. Don't sin against your wife. That'll hinder your prayers.
Amen.
Any prayers you know, anything you know that you need to repent of, repent. Then you got power.
Amen. Amen. And there are several points in there. And I like to go slow, so we can just drop. I'll drop the title before next week, right? Okay? So another aspect of prayer to think about and consider is that we're to pray in faith. In faith. In faith in what? Is it cool to just have faith in faith?
No, you got to have faith in God.
Faith in the character of God. And man, as soon as anybody says faith, right, one of the things that ought to pop into your mind really ought to be Hebrews 11. And you can't summarize it. You can't just take the snippet, but I had to do this snippet because we can't read every chapter every time. But yeah, Hebrews 11, the very first verse. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And man, if you want to read a passage about faith and having that expand out, all these examples of faith, Hebrews 11, and it's faith in the character of God. And we are to pray in faith, remembering the character of God, remembering, claiming some of those promises that God has given us, and knowing that God is faithful. Absolutely. Another thing, we're to pray in obedience. And 1 Peter 3:12 quotes from Psalm 34. Why do I tell you that? Well, I tell you that because, okay, Peter's quoting from Psalms, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. And Peter was quoting that from the Psalms, and the fact that God's ears are open to their prayers, but the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Now, are we righteous?
We're made righteous.
Absolutely. Are we righteous all the time? Heck no. Only one is perfectly righteous, but we've been credited with his righteousness. We have been credited with his righteousness. Therefore, right? We're credited with his righteousness, so therefore, we can then come before God.
We are seen as right from through Christ.
Absolutely. Do you have your glasses on? Nope. Can you see it?
1 John 3:21. If our hearts do not condemn, we have confidence, therefore, or before God, with whatever we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases.
If our hearts don't condemn us, because we're being convicted by sin. We have confidence before God that we can ask, we can come before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commands and we do what pleases Him. So, lots of times we like to skip to the part, oh yeah, okay, well, whatever we ask, we receive. Yes, but no. What are the parameters there, right? If our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence before God. And we do what pleases Him. So we need to be in obedience to God. We need to deal with our sin when the Holy Spirit convicts us. We need to be praying in His will about what pleases God and what He wants. And when all those things are true, man, yeah, God, I know that we're going to be healed eventually, be it here, be it there. I hope it's here. I know it's going to be at least there. Thank you, God, for all the working. And certainly this rolls right into, right, confession of sin, right? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we run to the last part of the verse, but we kind of go easy and light on that first. If we confess our sins, we need to deal with that sin that the Holy Spirit is going, hey, 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 hey. Deal with this. Deal with this. Then, when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and allow us to bring our petition before God. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So not only are we to confess before God, but yeah, we're... And why would we even confess to one another?
So they can pray for you.
So they can pray for you.
Keep each other accountable.
And keep each other accountable. Absolutely. Sin loves darkness, right? Sin loves to hide and... And again, focusing back on the prayer, and pray for one another that you may be healed. We need to be praying, and we need to be praying for one another that we can be healed. We need each other. I'm going to cut it off there. Just some thoughts about prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. You didn't ask us to just figure out everything ourselves. You gave us your revealed word that we can know you better. You've also commanded us to come to you with our requests, with what's heavy on our heart. You commanded us because sometimes we don't want to, and we don't. And how silly. Forgetting that you are God and you want relationship with us. Thank you for that. God, thank you for sending us your Son, giving us a way that we can even bring a request to you, breaking down that veil, that curtain between us and you, that we can stand before you. Thank you, God, for that. Help us to obey the Holy Spirit as He brings conviction in our lives. and that we would desire to deal with the sin as you bring it to our attention. Help us to reach the world that desperately needs you. Amen.